Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Anastasia, and with me today is beloved Australian children's author, Mem Fox. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Anastasia. Great pleasure to be here.
So you're here because you have a new picture book, I'm Australian Too. Do you want to tell us about it?
Look, I love I'm Australian Too. I think I love it because I've gone back to my roots. My roots are a deep love of Australia, which first came out in Possum Magic. I found in the late 70s that there was no Australian literature for my own child to read. I was searching and searching for picture books, and there were none. Well, there were one or two. There weren't hundreds as there are now. And so I wrote Possum Magic as a kind of, you know, protest, as a piece of rage. You know, we can't find ourselves in our own culture. Well, mate, here we are. You know, we have everything we need. We've got all the capital. Yeah, all the capitals of Australia, we've got all the foods, we've got all the animals, we've got a quest story, which is an archetypal story, it ends happily, that is Possum Magic. Mm-hmm. Now, that came out in the year that we won the America's Cup, a yacht race, for the first time for 102 years, so it was timely. Somehow, I have the same feeling about this book, I'm Australian Too. It's come out at the right time. There are quite a few people in this country with very loud voices who are sort of encouraging us to hate other people or to be suspicious of them or not to be welcoming. And my feeling about Australia is that deep down, we are the friendliest nation on earth. We're warm, we're open-hearted, we're welcoming, we're generous, we're hospitable. We love other human beings, and I'm distressed about this nonsense that's going on in our society. And this book was written, once again, as a kind of protest, once again in a kind of rage. But once again, there's no rage in the book. The book is designed to be, it's designed to have the tone of what I think Australia is, which is, it's just full of loving kindness. It's a very gentle book. When I say gentle, you know, the message is gentle. It's about all the people who made Australia what it is today, the Greeks, the Italians, the English, the Vietnamese, you know, these waves of migration. But it's not a quiet book. It's the first verse, which is true, goes like this. My mum was born in Sydney, my dad in Ballarat, but I was born in Melbourne. How Australian is that? How about you? And every single verse ends, how about you? For example, my parents come from China. They think Australia's great. So now we live in Canberra and call out, g'day, mate. How about you? That's the whole tenor of the book. We do have a little sad verse at the end, which says, sadly, I'm a refugee. I'm not Australian yet, but if your country lets me in, I'd love to be a vet. And then we have two nice verses to finish with. We open doors to strangers, yes, everyone's a friend. Australia Fair is ours to share, where broken hearts can mend. What journeys we have travelled from countries near and far. Together now we live in peace beneath the southern star.
Are you allowed to, or can you share with us your story with the butchers and how you made them cry when you read them this story?
Look, I was going, this is long before the book came out, it must be 18 months ago, I had the text of the book in my car. I was going to have coffee with a friend, and I never email a text to anybody because I don't want it spread around before it's been properly edited, before it's been published. I always take hard copy. I never, ever put it on anything digital. So I went to the butchers on my way to have coffee, and they said in their cheeky butcher way, so what have you been up to, Mem? And I said, I've just written a brilliant book, and I howled with laughter because it was such a naughty thing to say. And they laughed too because I had been so outrageous, and then I was even more outrageous because I said, do you want to hear it? I said, I've got a copy in the car. They said, go on, you know. I said, yeah, I've got a copy in the car. I'll read it. I said, but if anybody comes into the butcher shop, I'll just pretend it's my shopping list. So I read them the book. One of the butchers was, you know, just over his apprenticeship. He was about 21. The other one was 53. I read the book and they both cried. Guys, blokes, men, males, they cried. And I thought then, you know what? I may be onto a winner. If I can make butchers cry, this could be a great book.
Yeah. And it is a great book.
Thank you.
Now, I particularly love reading the dedication section in children's books because there's always a wonderful story about why certain people are mentioned in the book. And do you want to tell us, well, actually, your dedication is actually one of the longest I've seen because you've mentioned, what is it, 14 or 16?
I think it's people, 14.
14 people.
Yes.
What's the story behind
all Well, them? There were so many people that had contributed, who had contributed to my life, and because they had The dedication is very long because there were so many people who had contributed to my life and also to the life of Australia who were born outside Australia. So they had been migrants to this country and they had contributed like you wouldn't believe, and my life would not have been the same had they not come. For example, the very first person in the dedication is Ignatius Budiman. He's Indonesian. He was born in Indonesia. He's my GP. I worship the ground the guy walks on. I absolutely adore him. We call him Iggy, and he's our family doctor, and we absolutely adore him. The second person is Mo Yin Chu, Chinese, born in China, now lives in Australia. She's my accountant, and she will not let 1 cent more go to the tax man than she, you know, and then she will allow. I mean, I don't mind paying tax. I know that, you know, tax dodgers are people who wreck a country. You know, taxpayers are the good people, and I want to be one of the good people. But she is hilarious. You know, she looks at every cent. Then we have people like Dr. Sanjay Sinhal, who was my grandson's pediatrician. My grandson was born, he weighed a kilo. He was born 10 weeks premature. He weighed 1 kilo. 1 kilo. He could almost fit into my hand. He was so tiny. Now, where would I have been if Sanjay Sinhal had not been there, coming from India, to make sure that my grandson lived? What's more, what's even more amazing is that my grandson's other grandfather, like the other side of his family, not my side, is an Italian. His name is Girolamo Leppa. And if Jim had not come from Italy to Australia, he wouldn't have had a son here, and I wouldn't have had a grandson. Oh my Lord, the greatest gift in my life would not have happened if we hadn't had migration. You know, there are colleagues of mine from Holland who have painted portraits of me. That's Henny van den Wildenberg. They're very close friends of ours. My own brother-in-law, Stefan Rentz, was born in Austria. What would I have done without him? My sister's very, very sick. And he is just a saint to my sister. He is the most wonderful brother-in-law you could imagine. What would I have done if he hadn't migrated to Australia? So, you know, we've got these 14 people, just astonishing people who have come here and who have helped me and who have helped the country. And people moan about immigration. I'm saying, hang on a minute. Look at all these people. What would we have done without them?
Now, a lot of librarians and teachers have actually signed up to our podcast. So have you got any advice on how they can perhaps incorporate this book into the classroom, or any advice on how they can start conversations about multiculturalism and tolerance and acceptance?
You know, the best way of starting a conversation about a book is to have the kids act the book out.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I think that just dividing the class up with different verses and the whole class says, how about you? You know, everybody says, how about you? But a group of, say, 4 kids says, Lebanon is beautiful. My family came from there. They fled a war, but now they sing Advance Australia Fair. That's one little group. And then the whole class says, how about you? And they turn to another 4 kids. And, you know, another 4 kids say, I sound just like an Aussie, which is really who I am. My family lives in Melbourne, but we hail from Vietnam. How about you? And it's the joy of the book that will teach the message even more than teaching the message.
You know, this book was meant to be read aloud. Now that I actually hear you kind of sing it.
It was. It is a performance book. It
makes all the difference.
It's a performance book.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it should come with a CD.
You know, it should come with a CD.
It should.
Yeah, I'll have to speak to them about that. Having said that about the CD, I would like to guide teachers to my website because every single book is read aloud on my website.
There we go.
You can just press a button where it says, listen now, and I read the book. You know, I read all the books. And all the backstories about all the books are on there. So, you know, if teachers are interested, you could waste a lot of time on the internet the night you find my website. Don't go near it if you're busy. Just don't. Leave it alone. But if you want to know how to read that book, it's there.
It's there.
The example is there.
Or listen to this podcast.
Or listen to the podcast. There we go.
Should tolerance and multiculturalism, do you think that should be taught in the classroom, or do you think this should be introduced by parents, you know, before?
Well, I'm thrilled that, you know, parents will have to read this book to their children, because by just reading the book to their kids, they have to take on board the message of the book. You can't read this book to children and then say, this is a load of rubbish, kids. Actually, you know, your beloved author Mem has really, you know, she's fallen over on this book. This book is terrible. Nobody's going to say that. They're not going to say that. Sometimes I think it's much better to, you know, when we're writers, when we're learning how to be writers, we are told to show, not tell. In other words, don't say she was bossy. You show she was bossy by the things she says and she does. Okay, so that's a very simple illustration of show, don't tell as a writer. Now, as a human being, with tolerance and multiculturalism, we can say exactly the same. Show, don't tell, show. You be a tolerant adult, and you will set the example. Show, don't tell. Don't say, you've got to be tolerant of other people, you know. You've got to be really nice to people like Vietnamese people. We may not like them, but you've got to be really tolerant to them. You know, I mean, we can't do that. I honestly sometimes think, you know, we could teach something to death. And I really want people to love this book. I don't want them to teach. I know it's got a message. I know that it can be used to teach various things. But I would much prefer that people just threw themselves into it, that a ball, had an absolutely wonderful time with this book, because in the wonderful time, the education will occur.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if they have to rehearse it over and over for an assembly performance, for example, if they have to rehearse it, they're going to hear all the other kids doing their verses. They are going to say their own verse over and over again. Somehow that whole message will just go into their bone marrow without anybody beating a drum. Because I think when we beat drums, kids get really turned off. And of course, as teachers and as adults and as librarians, we have to live the tolerance ourselves. We have to be prime examples of it. Yeah.
So before you touched on how writers should show and not tell, do you have any other advice for, you know, aspiring children's authors? Because a lot of people think writing a kid's book is a piece of cake.
Yes.
But in fact, there's a lot of subtext in children's books.
I think anybody who thinks writing for children is a piece of cake needs to try and bake the cake.
Yeah, exactly.
Just try and bake the cake and see how difficult it is.
Yeah.
Most people who write for children try to teach children something. Yeah. You don't try and teach, because that kids won't warm to that. The other thing is, most people write for picture books that are far too long. You have to remember that it's a 32-page book. 16 of those pages are illustrations. You have very little space. You must write a book that's under 500 words. If you are writing for very small children, you should write a book that's 250 words or less. Yeah. I mean, Where is the Green Sheep is 190 words, okay? So it's brevity, you must be brief. For very young children, try and write rhythmically, not in verse necessarily, but the prose has got to have some kind of beautiful rhythm to it, okay? Do not write a story in rhyme. Mm-hmm. Never write a story in rhyme.
Okay,
so people say, but what about 10 little fingers and 10 little toes? What about time for bed? What about where is the green sheep? You know, what about I'm Australian too? They're all in rhyme. They're not stories. They're books with rhyme, rhythm and repetition in them. They don't say once upon a time, blah, 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 then this happened and then that happened. People tumble as writers. They fall over cracks in the earth because trying to write a story in rhyme is so difficult, and most people, simply because of the accident of their birth and their education, do not have the sense of rhythm that is required to write for children. They just don't have it. And they'll squeeze a two-syllable word where a one-syllable word should be, or they'll leave out a syllable and won't, and will elongate the way they speak it in order to make it fit. You can't do that. You've just got to know what the rhythm is. And if people really want to know, you know, the sense of rhythm, they would do, you know, well to grab a Bible and learn a chapter of it off St. James version of the Bible, King James version of the Bible, not the recent one. You know, learn a chapter of that off by heart. Find three Shakespeare speeches and learn them off by heart. And then find a Dr. Seuss book and learn that off by heart. And if you've got, you know, if you've got the Bible, Shakespeare, and Dr. Seuss off by heart, you're not going to get the rhythm wrong. You just can't. Because it's then in the marrow of your own bones.
Is that what you did?
Well, you know, I went to drama school and I was really lucky because I thought I'd wasted 3 years at drama school. Because in my last month at drama school, I said, oh my God, I wrote in my journal, oh, I don't want to be an actress, I want to be a writer. That was in, you know, July 1968, I wrote that. I wasn't a writer until I was 37, and I wrote that when I was 22. So it took a while, you know, to come to fruition. But I knew then that I wanted to be a writer, and drama school was the best training for being a writer that I could recommend to anybody. So, you know, if you do go to drama school and you decide that that's not for you, you have not wasted that, because you will be a wonderful writer, because you've had to learn by heart wonderful writing.
There we go. Ma'am, what's next for you?
Look, a rest. I hope nothing.
Well-earned rest.
Well-earned rest. A big sleep with my thumb in my mouth. Something will happen.
Yep.
Something will happen. There are four books in the pipeline being illustrated at the moment, so, you know, something will happen in the next 10 years, by which time I'll be 81. Oh, my Lord, they'll be wheeling me into Booktopia in a wheelchair. Never. Never.
You don't look your age.
No. I go to a fitness class. I will never be wheeled into Booktopia.
A bubbly personality. You come across as a 40-year-old.
Well, it's very kind of you to say so, but of course you're doing a podcast and nobody can see me. Oh, lucky you people. This is not a visual medium that we're using right now.
You should have been a comedian.
Oh, my Lord. I would have died, rather. I would have died. But life is fun.
Thank you so much for joining us today, ma'am.
Thank you. It's been lovely.
For all you listeners, if you're interested in Mem's book, I'm Australian Too, head on over to booktopia.com.au.
Could I say one last thing, Anastasia? Please, because this is just dreadful.
Yeah.
You know, a picture book is written by two people.
Yes.
Sorry, it's created by two people. It's written by one and it's illustrated by the other. And the other, who is often ignored, as we have ignored him today, which is just makes me want to lash myself, the other, in this instance, is the illustrator, Rona Joy Ghosh. He is outstanding, and somebody said to me yesterday, the marriage between you and Rona Joy Ghosh is a marriage made in heaven in this book. And I met him for the first time last night. We're talking now, you know, in the middle of March 2017, and I just fell in love with him. He's such a gentle, beautiful soul. Absolutely lovely, lovely young man, I think, because I'm so old. And what he's done, I'm so thankful for, and I do want to, you know, put that on the line, that I am very grateful for his illustrations, and I think he's done a superb job.
Well, he has, and I feel terrible too, because actually that was one of my questions, and I skipped over it. So apologies as well from me.
We love you, Rona Joy.
We do.
Three cheers for you.
Thank you so much for coming in. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.